Joining us on the line with the Trending 55 newsroom is the president of the Alberta Teachers Association, Mr. Jason Schilling. First off, Jason, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Great. So I guess the first question is that obviously the province announced that they were going to return under Scenario 1. Overall, what are you hearing from your membership on the thoughts of that?
Well, I mean, teachers are looking forward to going back to work in school because, you know, they're teachers and they want to be at school with their students and their colleagues doing the job that they love in the way that they're normally used to doing it. However, they want to make sure that that is done in the safest possible way for themselves, their students, and their families. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all go back to our homes, so the greater community is also in mind of teachers as well. And they're concerned about the plan in the scenario that's been laid out because it lacks some clarity around several main issues such as safety, social distancing in classrooms with cohorts when we know that we already have a class size issue that, you know, predated the pandemic. And there's a big concern about funding and how everything is going to be paid for in order to meet the health measures that are within the plan.
I know talking to the school district upstairs in store in terms of paying for supplies, custodians, because obviously there's going to be increased cleaning and sanitizing as well. And the Peace River School Division, for example, had given an estimate to me a couple of days ago of about $500,000 extra added to their budget now. Peace River School Division has quite a few schools, but I guess once you start getting into all the other big divisions, it's definitely going to be a huge chunk of change to, you know, school division budgets that were already stretched thin by insurance issues, among other things.
Oh, definitely. And you have to think that the school divisions also received two budgets last school year, one that came in October that had a $128 million shortfall, and then the one that came in the spring also had a shortfall as well. And a lot of school boards had to use their reserves already in order to maintain services through the last school year. So a lot of them don't have reserves to fall back on. And we have a lot of pandemic left. We are just sort of at the beginning of this, and we don't know when we will get to the end where we will see, you know, a vaccine or something like that come around. So we have to ensure that school boards have the funding for the long term in order to meet the safety standards that will be required in our schools.
No doubt about that. And as we've seen in the recent last couple of weeks, the amount of cases as social distancing measures are relaxed are starting to spike up again. And even some people had said that we expect some COVID cases in school. Obviously, that's got to be a little bit concerning when you hear that, it's almost like it's expected. But at the same time, there seems to be a huge desire for teachers and students to get back into class. Where do you think is the right balance in this?
Well, I think there's the balance has to look at how can we mitigate the risks as much as possible in schools to make sure that any kind of transmission is extremely rare, right? And that starts with, you know, the association's been working with an epidemiologist the last week, couple weeks or so, to make sure that we have a full understanding of the science and the latest research around COVID-19. So, for instance, one of the things that we would like to see is to have a more rigorous self-assessment to go into the building instead of a piece of paper that people check at home. So something similar to when you go into a store where they take your temperature and ask you these questions, and if you fail, then you leave. You're not allowed to come back in. We also need to look at the provisions of how we're going to make sure there's enough hand sanitizing things within the school. And we also need to start talking about the idea of what happens if somebody does get ill at school and what are the protocols around that. Not every school will be able to have a separate space to kind of put people if they get sick until they get picked up, and, you know, who watches that, and then there's further questions about PPE and other forms of outbreak management that we need to look at.
So it sounds like there's more of a frustration over a lack of understanding versus a frustration over what was missed in terms of, okay, well, we're opening, you're unlocking the doors, now what? That seems like the scenario. Would that be an accurate way to put it?
Well, a lot of my frustration comes from the fact that we raised these issues with the government when they released their initial thoughts around the scenarios of returning to school. They had three scenarios in a summer school scenario. We wrote a letter mid-June and outlining a lot of the concerns that we had for teachers that are still viable today. And we didn't see any change in the plan that came on June 10th to the plan that was announced this week, but nothing was altered in terms of the safety concerns we had or the funding concerns that we had. So it's frustrating on my part to continue to have this conversation to ensure the safety of, you know, students and the staff that work at schools. It's not just teachers, but you're also thinking of custodians and EAs and all the folks that help support students. So it's just frustrating on my part to have to continue to have these conversations when we should have been having these conversations about these things several weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And obviously, as you had mentioned before, and we could talk, and I wanted to touch on that as well, is that in terms of financial shortfalls and staff shortages, these were pre-pandemic issues, and I think it's important to note that.
Yeah, and the pre-pandemic issues that we had before are only accelerated and exasperated through the pandemic, right? So when we were in remote emergency teaching, our vulnerable students were not able to always access school because they might not have the technology or they might not have the support at home in order to do the work. Well, that still matters now. It still matters a lot moving into the future when we get into the fall. So if we are going to require PPE in school, not every student's going to be able to afford that. Not every family is going to be able to afford that. So the government needs to step up to provide that for students within the building.
All right, Mr. Schilling, those are all the questions I have, unless there's something else you'd like to add that I may have forgotten.
No, I think that's everything. Thanks very much, Ken.
All right, this is the Alberta Teachers Association President Jason Schilling on the Trending 55 Hot Seat.